Our next case is CellSpinSoft versus Panasonic and Garmin, 2020-1948. So we will hear from Mr. Gottheiser again. Obviously these cases are quite similar, but somewhat different, and there's no need to repeat what has been said unnecessarily.
May it please the court. I'm here today on behalf of CellSpin, and as the court noted, we've already heard about the CellSpin versus Canon, and there is some overlap, as the court has pointed out.
Well, it's the same patent, same claims, different defendant, different prior art, right?
Right, correct. And about the prior art, Your Honor, there's passing references here and there to Bluetooth, but they never even mention pairing, paired, how it would be done.
By they, you mean the board?
The prior art.
I see.
The prior art never uses the word pairing. And a lot of this prior art is translations from Japanese applications. And there's also a failure to show how you would combine these things. And kind of in the Canon, like in the other decision, we have a situation here where some things are just being ignored. Going to our arguments about claims 5 and 8 and why that should be reversed. And we don't really want it to be remanded. I've got to be honest, Your Honor. We've waited 5 years in the Northern District of California to get to trial, and we've been stayed this entire time. And
Appellants want to win, not a remand.
Okay. So we want the W. And with respect to that, the board, again, it's like they didn't realize that the Supreme Court came down with the SAS ruling. And they need to look at what's in front of them with respect to the petition that Panasonic has brought and address that. And what I mean by that is they come up with their new theory that Machida and Hirashi alone teaches all the elements of claims 5 and 8. But Panasonic's theory rested on a combination of Machida, Hirashi, and Onichi. So they're, again, going back to the six elements or six steps that has to be done by one single application. And we talk about the need for that one single application in our opening brief at pages 7 to 10. They just kind of discount Onichi altogether, going back to my argument about claims 5 and 8 and what Panasonic originally raised. So the reason why that's important is the board goes on and just seems to forget that it's important to understand that if you're going to say Panasonic relied on just Machida and Hirashi, it needs to be accurate, and it's just sloppy, and they didn't include Onichi, and it was very clear in our opening brief, pages 56 and 57, that they clearly relied on Onichi to provide the GUI to delete a media file. And this, again, as in Canon, that's this sixth element that's definitely required, and the prior art does not teach pushing a button on the side of a phone, flip phone, does not address a GUI to delete and providing that through one single software application. So similar, as we mentioned, O2 Micro should be applied. Panasonic argued that O2 Micro doesn't apply if it comes from the PTAB. We strongly disagree. And in fact, this court's already addressed this in Housewares 865 F3rd 1372. And with respect to, and going back to, this also was in Canon, but also here in Panasonic, what we have is by the board not addressing a single patent, a single mobile application, software application doing all six steps, they start to then, the board held a storage medium, stores program codes, implementing functions of the communication devices in the digital camera and cellular phone. This is at the appendix 49. But this represented the board's own theory of claims 5 and 8. Panasonic never raised this argument. We also refer to it as like the one box theory, and that's different. And there's no, again, there's no teaching on why you would combine these different aspects. And part of the confusion comes from Panasonic, the board taking arguments that Panasonic raised with respect to claim 13 and then applying it to claims 5 and 8. Claim 13 is completely independent, and it relates to basically a floppy disk or a storage medium that would contain one single application that you might use and load up to a device. So claims 13, and with respect to Canon, they did something similar. So each word in the claims 5 and 8 in all the claims, especially as well method claim 1, that they never show that was actually done. So it was never implemented. And with respect to the short-range wireless, short-range paired wireless connection, short-range has a meaning within 100 meters. Paired has a meaning you remember the device because you store something about that node you have a mutual agreement to talk with. And also, wireless connection. Well, you can't have a wire between the devices. So every one of those words means something. And again, it was improper to use VRI as an excuse, really, to make it so broad that it covers more than a person with ordinary skill in the art would understand the word paired to mean.
There's
an option to. I'm going to reserve the rest of my time at this point, except for one after I make this last point. I appreciate your patience. What's unique about Panasonic's decision or opposition is that they raise a situation where they say, "Well, a pin is sufficient to do the paired connection," and this is relating more to the invalidity side. But a pin doesn't establish pairing. And that's important to remember. And again, Dr. Foley, who for 10 years was over the Bluetooth specification committee, he was director of it. He explained that a pin code is used for authentication, and pairing only happens when hosts store the link keys for future use. And so I think that's a very concise way to make that point. And with that, I'll reserve my time.
We will serve it for you, counsel. Ms. Bostwick, I can tell you in advance that if your co-appellee counsel does not use the time you have agreed to, you will be able to come back and fill in the blanks.
I appreciate that, Judge Lurie. May it please the court. I want to address the same two issues that have been part of the Canon argument and now this argument, and that's pairing on the one hand, and then the requirement of claims 5 and 8 regarding a mobile software application. And then I will also address the GUI briefly. Starting with pairing, the board's construction does give meaning to the word pairing, and I think we just heard Salzman's counsel say that each set of these words, short-range, paired, wireless, has a meaning, and what he said for paired is mutual agreement, a mutual agreement to communicate. That's what the board found. That's what the specification of the 698 patent teaches, and that's certainly present in the prior art Mashita reference, which also discloses a Bluetooth connection. I do think that gives meaning to word paired.
What would it look like not to have mutual agreement? Could they talk without mutual agreement?
Certainly. There are many ways to talk without mutual agreement. I think some examples might help. If I'm out on my boat and I pull out my VHF radio and I try to use that to communicate, I have no control over who's on the other side of that. All manner of people might be tuned to the same channel. It's a common communication channel. It's not a mutual agreement between two specific parties to communicate. On the other hand, if I put on my, I wanted to say Bluetooth headset, I'm not sure it's Bluetooth, but if I put on my headset that I use to communicate just with my partner on my boat as we're moving around, that's a paired connection. That's a mutual agreement between the two parties to communicate with each other. So I do think, again, that the board's construction gives it meaning. If the court is concerned that the board's construction does not go far enough, that doesn't mean you would need to adopt the particular requirements of Selspin's construction. Rather, I think it is the common PIN entry that provides that additional evidence of pairing. And so I'd cite to the Bluetooth specification, which is at Appendix 5592, and it talks about a pairing procedure will be used. A PIN code will be requested on both sides of the connection and authentication performed based on this PIN code. Now, Selspin has argued that, yes, that's authentication, that's not pairing. The two are clearly related, not only in the Bluetooth specification, but also in the claim language, which talks about establishing a short-range paired wireless connection comprises authenticating the identity of the cellular phone. So, yes, they're related, but that doesn't mean...
Right, but you're arguing in this little piece of it that the PIN, the use of the PIN is sufficient, not just necessary. And I think what you just said about the Bluetooth support, including the language of comprising, doesn't get you to sufficiency.
So I think
if Bluetooth might well say, I don't have it in front of me, or Bastard might say, for pairing, you need the following three things, the first of which is PIN. That wouldn't support your view that if we want to look at Bluetooth, we can find PIN alone to be sufficient for pairing.
That's correct, Your Honor. That wouldn't, but that's not what the Bluetooth specification does. What the specification does and what our expert testified at Appendix 2052 to 2053 is that establishing this pairing link and inputting the same PIN into the two devices is what gets you pairing. And that's what the board relied on at Appendix 32 to 33 to find pairing. The fact that the Mashita reference in Japanese or otherwise may not use the specific term pairing, of course, is not relevant under this court's well-established precedent. What matters is that a person of ordinary skill would understand it to disclose pairing, and there's certainly substantial evidence for the board's finding to that effect.
I don't remember whether you said that. I mean, your patent owner's attorney referred to Dr. Foley saying the opposite. Did you have an expert saying, supporting your view?
Yes, that is Dr. Strawn, and that's at Appendix 2052 to 2053. Explains, Posita would understand that establishing a link and inputting the same PIN into both the cellular phone and the digital camera both result in a paired connection. And the board did rely on that testimony. If I can move to Claims 5 and 8, unless there are further questions on pairing. So a mobile software application, to begin with, the court doesn't need to get into the claim construction question because the board did find that this limitation was satisfied, even if it has to be one application, because it can be one application with multiple software modules. That's, in fact, what Figure 2 of the 698 patent shows. That's what we explained in our reply brief in response to Selspin's argument that you needed this one single application. The board found that that was proper rebuttal. Selspin does not show that that board's finding in that regard was an abuse of discretion, and they also don't challenge that under that understanding of modular software that there is substantial evidence to support the board's decision. So I think you can affirm on that basis alone. But if the court wanted to get into the claim construction question...
Can I just ask you, and I realize that this may be slightly unfair, but is the determinations in this board opinion that you just relied on, do they have a substantively identical counterpart in the 1947?
The board uses slightly different language in these two opinions, but I think in substance it's finding the same thing, and I apologize, I'm relying a bit on memory of the 1947 appeal, but I do think the substance of both findings is the same. And so there would be substantial... They have different prior art. I'll let them address that, but I do think it's the same. But if the court were to get to the claim construction question, I think, you know, I heard Selspin's counsel in the first appeal say that context matters in referring to Varma, and I think that's absolutely correct. And here, the context of this patent is much closer to the 01 communique case than it is to the INRI Varma case. So in 01 communique, you had claims that required a locator server computer with a location facility, which was understood to be software, for performing several functions. And the issue was whether you could have that software distributed among multiple locator server computers. And the court held, yes, there was no reason in the patent to limit it to one server with one software application. Here, too, there's nothing in the patent that suggests that you would need to do that. I don't believe Selspin has cited anything contrary, and in fact, the language that Judge Toronto, you pointed to in column 10, I respectfully part ways with Canon's counsel. I do think it reinforces our interpretation of the claims, because in talking about processor, that is what the claim language in claims 5 and 8 do as well, right? The language here is not a mobile software application that does certain things. It's the cellular phone comprises a mobile software application that when executed by a processor of the cellular phone is configured to control the processor of the cellular phone to do those four or five things. And so the fact that the patent specifically contemplates that you can even have more than one processor, more than one memory, I think that reinforces the fact that that the singular is not driving this invention. If I can very briefly address the graphical user interface, if I understand Selspin's argument, they're essentially saying that to have a GUI in 2007, you needed a touchscreen so that you were navigating on the screen itself and not by buttons. And of course, there's nothing in the record to support that. Rather, as we have shown at Appendix 7360, the graphical user interface depicted in the Onishi reference looks pretty well identical to the one in the 698 patent.
Counsel keeps saying the board ignored the GUI is to delete part of the limitation. What's your response to that?
Yes, that's simply not true. The board at Appendix 47 finds that... So the board first finds that Mashita does teach a graphical user interface, and that's what we argued. But then it goes on to find that Onishi supplies the fact that you use that graphical interface to delete the file off of the camera. And Onishi discloses that at Appendix 1302, paragraph 51. And the board cited that at Appendix 47. If the court has no further questions, we'd ask the court to affirm the board in all respects.
Thank you. You might get a return engagement. Mr. Handel?
Good morning again, Your Honors. I'm still Josh Handel for the intervener. Judge Toronto, I would like to just...
We reestablished the connection.
I don't get into that. I'm not authorized to speak. Judge Toronto, I would like to just modestly revise and extend my answer to you from the first argument. So I believe I said that the only live issues still available in this case are the APA challenges to the proceedings on remand. After looking at my notes, I recalled that there was also a brief objection in Selspin's initial opening brief to the concept of panel stacking. So this idea that the director can expand or otherwise reconfigure a PTAB panel in order to achieve her preferred outcome for three very quick reasons.
And MobilityWorks doesn't specifically address that, is that right?
I do not believe it does, Your Honor, no. And for three very quick reasons, we think that this claim lacks merit. So number one, it was not raised before the agency and is thus forfeited. Number two, panel stacking indisputably did not occur here. To the contrary, the same panel of three APJs presided over the IPR proceedings from institution to disposition. And number three, even if this claim were preserved and relevant to this case, the concern that the director will exercise too much control over the disposition of IPR proceedings is directly contrary to the Supreme Court's decision in Arthrex, which held that control by a politically accountable actor is compelled by the Constitution.
And the failure to raise point, because this is something that, had it been raised to the board could have done something about, is more like the old, is it DBS or something like that?
I think that's correct, Your Honor.
Not like Arthrex, where that government response was rejected, basically because the board couldn't have done anything about it anyway.
Exactly. That's right, Your Honor. And I believe there is language also in Mobility Works about how an agency may not have authority to declare a statute unconstitutional, so it's unfair.
But it could have changed the panel in response to an objection without declaring anything unconstitutional.
Absolutely. Because this is just an internal agency procedure, it's necessary to raise that objection before the agency itself.
Yeah. What about the argument that the board members had a financial interest in the decision?
Your Honor, I think that is flatly untrue, and it's also it's controlled by a number of different requirements that are imposed on PTAB members and also imposed on other subordinates within the agency. So the Department of Commerce has just kind of a blanket rule against participating in decisions where
still a live issue, isn't that correct?
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood, Your Honor. So the question about whether the structure of instituting IPR is sort of a conflict because it funds the agency, or because there are potentially like performance bonus implications. Right. So that is all entirely controlled by Mobility Works, which rejected those exact arguments.
And there's nothing new has happened since then. I'm recalling somebody citing a preliminary GAO report. Is that post Mobility Works or not? And it's only preliminary anyway, but what's the time?
Right. So Your Honor, I'm not exactly familiar with what you're what you're discussing, but I will say Mobility Works, the grounds there were structural, right? They were talking about how the PTO is funded by Congress, it's congressional appropriations, it's a submission, you know, that are sometimes somewhat loosely based on a budget submission by the president. None of that is controlled by individual APJs or even by the director of the PTO. Okay. Unless the court has further questions, rest on our briefs. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Bostwick, I trust we don't need 45 seconds.
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Gottheiser has some rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor. Didn't want to talk about the constitutional issues, but the perception is reality. That's the way, when I was an officer, that's how you had to look like you knew what you were doing because people looked up to you. And right now with the board, the perception that they need to be following what the petitioner gave them needs to be a reality. And that's definitely true from the guidance in SAS and a lot of these situations that were just brought up by the government are still open in a lot of people's mind. And for example, Stacey Marigold was one of the PTAB board members. She was a partner at ORIC. Now she's not making that salary. It looks bad. And so she shouldn't have been on this panel when ORIC is representing Panasonic. So, going back...
Was that one of the specific issues you appealed to us? A conflict?
No, Your Honor, it's a conflict. Concern. I apologize, it's a conflict. I just came to my own knowledge. I'm helping my colleagues with this appeal because it's important to our client. And that's why I'm here today before you. And why it was important to our client, we tried to get the best expert we could. We got the person that was involved in the crucial period of time in 2000s, 2001, 2008, when all this was going irrelevant. Panasonic and Canon, they've got an expert, Dr. Strong and Dr. Mattesetti, respectfully, but they're not experts in Bluetooth. And yet here they are opining on what paired means. And they were looking to the Bluetooth specification for guidance on what pairing meant. And it's not surprising because also the other standards, Zigbee, WiBri, and the Wi-Fi standard, they all looked to the Bluetooth standard to understand what pairing is. And so the idea that these other standards don't support the definition that you have to be able to reconnect and connect as part of the pairing process is not true because they didn't argue it because we would have addressed it because the Zigbee standard does actually support our position. And we address how in our papers thoroughly how the board got it wrong when it said that the encryption part was done after the pairing. We didn't know that the board was going to make that argument. Again, it's a SAS type argument, but once we found out about it, we put it in our papers and we addressed it. And we addressed it by showing the Bluetooth, the Zigbee chart. So it's the pairing table. Zigbee had its own pairing table. And so for them to go, aha, in there, finally in the report, we didn't get a chance to address it, but it says the pairing table shall contain, pairing table shall contain security link key. The link key is to be used to secure this pairing link. So Zigbee does that in phase two in the pairing. Phase three is additional security, and had we had the board given us the opportunity to brief that, we would have explained it to the board. Lastly, the board also does not mention Onichi. Okay, so there's citations that counsel for Panasonic brought up there to their brief, but they're not to the board's ruling. The board said that they came up with their own theory. Mashita and Hirashi alone teach all elements of claims 5 and 8. But again, Panasonic's theory also rested on Onichi, as Judge Stark pointed out. And the board, it wasn't like it was a harmless error. They said it three times. Petitioner shows that the combination of Mashita and Hirashi teach recited functions. They recited this new theory again three times. As if saying it more times would make it true. It's conclusory and it's wrong, and it wasn't even what Panasonic argued. And then what they do is, for both claims in 5 and 8, they fail to even mention the GUI to delete at all. And so again, I don't know why they didn't do it. Again, it could be that they drafted their original opinion off of Canon and then they truncated that portion that left out what the GUI had to do. I'm not sure, but I know that it cannot stand. So you got SAS, NRA Magnum Oil Tools, and also Cerrone Dental Systems.
Anything further, counsel?
I would just encourage the court just to remember three points in closing that we have to recall in today's world of perception that the whole idea that we have separate entities. In Article 3, we respect the chance to be here before you and have this de novo review. And pairing is construed too broadly. Claims 5 and 8 should survive under In re Varma. And the board came up with their own new theories. So we ask that it be reversed. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under submission.